Mr. Phil Fisher was supposed to be here tonight, doing this tonight, so he got a hold of me last night, said he was sick, and couldn't do it. And I think he did that to me last month, too. So we're just going to have to see. We're going to have a chat with him. Anyway, so tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Numbers tonight. I want to share with you, this is not a hardcore preaching message, and that's okay, right? Sometimes we just need to learn some things. I want to talk to you tonight, starting the chapter 22. We're going to talk about a character tonight that many of you may not know, but even if you do know, sometimes we just don't talk about this guy too much. But we're going to talk about Balaam tonight. We're talking about a guy named Balaam. And sometimes we just believe it's all about this whole thing with him and a donkey, but there's so much more to this guy and this story of what's going on. I'm hoping I can get it done. And there, I'm going to let the scriptures do a lot of this tonight. Of course, there's application in it. I'll throw that in, but I really want you to get the understanding of this biblical story here. I want to remind you that false teachers are plentiful. There are plenty of false teachers out there. There are plenty of people out there that say that they serve the Lord in things. And tonight we're going to read about a guy named Balaam who is doing just that. But there's a lot more to this guy than what many of us know. So tonight, just want to share with you the story of Balaam. And my question for you: can a donkey talk? No, but has a donkey ever talked? Yes. We won't talk about that, but that's not my main key tonight. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. So what has happened here is that the little backstory here is that the Hebrews, the Israelites, have chosen. They have sent some spies into the land, and they have chosen not to go in, and so they have rebelled against God, and now they are not allowed to go across. Some of them have made an attempt themselves to go in when they wanted to, and God shut that down. So they are not. Moses is still the leader here. So they are wandering through the desert, and they are meeting other places, and they're having to do some things to survive and live. And God is still with them. Should have been over in the promised land, but they chose not to, rebelled against that. And God has taught them some hard lessons, and they've learned the hard way. This group of people learned the hard way. I don't know how many of you out there, I don't know how many of y'all were raised, and some of you go, man, you ever heard one of your parents or grandparents say, you're a hardhead, you just learned the hard way? Yeah, maybe some of you, maybe some of not. Maybe some of you just took one time of getting in trouble and you straightened out. But others, hardheads, okay? So Israelites are hardheaded, right? The Lord called them stiff-necked people. I'm just using a hardhead to be a little bit nicer. So they come up on a fortified place, and Moses and them wanted to say, hey, if you let us take the king's highway, because there was a lot of Israelites, we're not going to do anything, we're not going to attack, we just need to cross your land, and if we use some of your water, we'll pay you for it. So Moses and them were being pretty nice about it, but they chose not to. They chose not to listen. And so they fortified their armies up, and they fought against Moses. And God says, well, and God allowed the Israelites to win. And they go up against some other places just like it. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to be kind to Israel and Israelites. And so everybody wants to attack. But everybody who attacks is losing. They lose. And then we come up on this guy named Balak in chapter 22. Balak has been watching this thing. So he wants to do something. He wants to hire a man named Balaam. Let's pick it up here. Like I said, the scriptures are going to preach itself tonight. So hopefully that you listen. This is one of our educational nights, I say. Numbers 22, verse 1 says, Israelites traveled on and camped in the plains of Moab near the Jordan across Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified of the people because they were numerous, and Moab dreaded the Israelites. So the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, this horde will devour everything around us like the ox eats up the green plants in the field. They were stressing out. So this king Balak was stressing out and says, I got to do something. We've got to do something. because armies don't seem to work. Okay? You know what people do when things like that doesn't seem to work? The same thing governments do. They just want to throw money at it. Okay? Verse 9, or verse 6. I'm going to skip some things because we don't have time to read all of them, but it'd be good for you to read them in your time. Verse 6. So he says, please, what he's doing is he wants Balaam to come. And so it's, please come and put a curse on these people for me, because they are more powerful than I am. I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed. I didn't even know that. Those you bless. This king is saying, man, I know Balaam. Those people he blessed are blessed, and those people who he curses are cursed. So he knows this because Balaam is for sale. Balaam he uses what God's given to him. He uses it, and he puts it up to almost like the highest bidder. You know, today there are men that are called by God, and they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're still called by God. They have their God-given gifts. And so many people have God-given talents, but they're not doing it the way God wants them to. So we can see right out the gate that his heart is not right with God. And if your heart is not right with God, your ministry is not right. When you serve God, it's not right, and you're going to trip over yourself, and you're going to find yourself into sin. And here it is. Some people just like money and riches. And I will be honest with you, there are preachers out there that just want money. They want the rich. They think that they get rich off of that. Listen, I'll take a side point and I'll say it this way. In my opinion, it's my opinion only. Ain't no preacher need no jet. They had stallions back in Jesus' day, and he rode a colt. Ain't no preacher, and I use that hard word, ain't. Ain't no preacher need no jet. Period. But they just want more money. They want more. This is enticing. Conversation shouldn't even happen. But it was happening. So Balak sends a couple of guys down and says, hey, I want you to... So you're talking to him, and this is what it says in verse 9. Then God came to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? Who are these men with you? It almost says like this. Why are you in company with these men? Be careful who you put company into. You know what I'm saying? Be careful. It doesn't mean you don't witness to the lost, do that, but there's something enticing for Balaam here. It's money. It's just money. He's for hire. His money. So it is. But God comes to Balaam and says, who are these men who are with you? Let me ask you this. The Holy Spirit ever said that? Why are you hanging out with these people? Who are these people with you? Because when God's going to say that, he's going to say, you're being more led by them than you leading them. And when a man of God or a woman of God is in a room, that should be the most key. I'm not saying that should be the most intellectual, smartest person in the room, because there are some very super smart, unsaved people. But it should be the most spiritual person in the room that has discernment of knowing what is good and what is evil. He should know that. And so there's some conversation with him, that him and God. In verse 12 it says, then God said to Balaam, you are not to go with them. You are not to curse this people, for they are blessed. God blessed this people. But Balaam wants to curse them because he wants the money. And that's what King Balak wants him to do. And they return and they say, king, he won't do it. So the king's going to send a couple more guys. And they're going to come of higher stature, thinking it's going to move Balaam. But it says in verse 18, when they come, but Balaam responded to the servants of Balak, the second said, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go against the command of the Lord my God to do anything small or great. Please stay here overnight as the others did, so that I may find out what else the Lord has to tell me. This is where we go, wow, we have a heart for Balaam. We have a heart for Balaam. I want to tell you that there are a lot of people right now on one side of the track with God and on the other side of the track in the flesh. They want what God has and they want what the world has. And I remember Scripture says you can't serve two masters. Truthfully, what Balaam is doing, he's serving himself. But verse 20 says, God came to Balaam at night and said to him, since these men have come to summon you, get up and go with them, but you must only do what I tell you. And here we go. When he got up in the morning, Balaam saddled his donkey and went with the officials of Moab. So there is a group going. And I want to tell you, sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you do not know what your day is in front of you. You do not know what is going to happen in your day. And Balaam had no clue what was going to happen in this day. Ministry can be crazy. Ministry can be crazy. And trying to be in both sides, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Well, God ends up getting upset about it. He's upset that Balaam's going. It isn't that just Balaam is going because God told him to go. His heart's not right. And we're going to find some scriptures. We're going to see that God sees through all this. And so, let me just pick it up in 23. It says, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing on the path with a sword drawn on his hand, she turned off the path and went into the field. So Balaam hit her to return her to the path. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow passage between the vineyards with a stone wall on either side. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord and pressed herself against the wall, squeezing Balaam's foot against it. So he hit her once again. And the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she crouched down under Balaam. So he became furious and he beat the donkey with a stick. So what he did was he's on his donkey, he's going through, and it's kind of a wider area, and the donkey doesn't want to listen and goes and sways off, and then it goes into the terrain's getting a little tighter, and then it rubs and kind of hurts Balaam's leg, kind of crushes it, but then the angel of the Lord goes into an advance into an area where it gets really tight, like a needle, real tight, and then the donkey couldn't go to the right or left. It just plumps down. Because the donkey's seeing what was in front. Let me tell you, when your heart is not right with the Lord, you can't see spiritually what's in front of you. And let me tell you, that was not in my notes tonight. When your heart is not right with God, you cannot see spiritually what is in front of you. Wow. Three times. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. Now, donkeys don't talk. We all know that. You go to the zoo, don't expect any animal to talk. Animals don't talk. But Luke 1:37 says, for there's nothing that is impossible. All things are possible with God. There's nothing impossible with the Lord. There's nothing. If God created it, he can do whatever he wants with it. So it isn't. So what it says in verse 28, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. The Lord allowed the donkey to speak. These are one of the things where people say, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe in that. Then you don't believe the Bible. You can't pick and choose what you want to believe out of the Bible. Jesus walked on water. Oh, I believe in everything, but I can't believe Jesus walked on water. Listen, the Bible is God's word. You either believe it or you don't. And if God created all things, and we know that he did, he created all creations, all the animals, don't you think he could squeeze the vocal cord a little bit? You don't think he can just move whatever he wanted to? It says, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. Let me tell you, to God that's just such an easy task. It's such an easy task. You know, for God to help you in a situation, it's an easy task. But sometimes God doesn't help us in certain situations because all we're really trying to do is just get out of trouble and not really go to God. We just want what God can do. And God's more interested in just fixing your problem. He's interested in your heart. And Balaam struggled with this. He said, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and she asked Balaam, What have I done to you that you have beaten me these three times? I'm always amused by this. Balaam answered the donkey. Say, what? I'm always shocked. I'm always humored by that. Because he said, and Balaam answered the donkey, "You made me look like a fool." Now just listen to that. "You made me look like a fool." What do you think everybody else around here, what in the world is going on? "If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now." Man, just his heart's coming out. Getting that angry over a donkey, "I'm going to kill you." He has no idea what is in front of him, but the donkey does. You see how stupid we sound when we are not spiritually in tune? Listen, lost people do what lost people do. But when somebody knows the Lord, they need to pay attention. Their heart, if our heart isn't right with God, shame on you for not trying to get it right. And I'm going to say it that way. Because God desires our heart to be right with Him. Okay? He says, "You made me look like a fool." But verse 3 says, "But the donkey said, 'Am I not the donkey you've ridden all your life until today? Have I ever treated you this way before?' And he replies again, 'No.'" He's not catching it. You know, some of you may talk to your dogs and cats like that. But let me remind you, you think you know what they're saying, right? But you don't understand. You may understand some things. But this is a conversation where they understood each other. This is just a crazy piece. But verse 31 says, "Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes." See, first it was opening the donkey's mouth. So Balaam could hear. But now he needed to see because he's that spiritually blind. "The Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the path with a drawn sword in his hand. And Balaam knelt low and bowed in worship on his face." The angel of the Lord never has to say who he is. People just know. "And the angel of the Lord asked him, 'Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? Look, I came to oppose you because I consider what you are doing to be evil.'" You know, we can be doing what God called us to do, but we can be doing it in an evil way because our heart is not right. Because we have a different intention. God has an intention for us to do something, but we're doing it, but we're doing it with the wrong intentions. He said this, "I consider what you are doing to be evil. And the donkey saw me and turned away from me three times." These three times. "If she had not turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and let her live." Wow. Verse 34 says, "Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, 'I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the path to confront me. And now if it is evil in your sight, I will go back.' Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, 'Go with the men, but you are to say only what I tell you.' So Balaam went to Balak's officials." Balaam is a hot mess. Regardless, it's a priest, a preacher, a deacon, whatever. It doesn't matter what title you have. You can be in a hot mess in your life. And you can still be doing what God's called you to do. You can still be serving God. But God sees the heart and sees your attitude and your intentions. So he goes with King Balak. And there's three. He wants him to curse Israel. So he picks these places and he says, "I want you to curse these people. I want you to curse these people." And so Balaam has this this oracle that he's going to say. God gives him some words and he speaks about it. And verse 11 of chapter 23 says this. So the king Balak says, "What have you done to me?" Because all this stuff that Balaam is saying is good stuff for Israel. It's all good stuff. But he wants to pay him for cursing him, not blessing him. And so verse 11 says, "What have you done to me?" Balak asked Balaam, "I brought you to curse my enemies, but look, you have only blessed them." He answered, "Shouldn't I say exactly what the Lord puts in my mouth?" That's what Balaam says. "I'm only can say what the Lord says." He understands that. He has this second piece. "Well, let's go over here. Let's go over to this other place. We'll do some sacrifices, and this is what we're going to do. You're going to get up here, and you're going to look over here, and you're going to see Israel, and you're going to curse them." And an oracle comes out again. He begins to do this poem, poetic piece about the blessings again. And then verse 25, then Balak told Balaam, don't curse him, don't bless him. He's starting to see a trend here. But Balaam answered him, did I tell you whatever the Lord says I must do? Sounds like Balaam's a good guy here, but keep on, guy, okay? Keep with me. Then Balaam has this third oracle, and he's doing all this stuff. And he's saying in chapter 24 and verse 9, he says, he crutches, he lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to arouse him? Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Then Balak became furious with Balaam because Balaam couldn't say anything positive about King Balak and his people. It was only for the Israelites, God's people. So Balak became furious with Balaam, and he struck his hands together, just like he's just angry. And he said to him, I summon you to put a curse on my enemies, but instead you have blessed them these three times. Now go to your home, I said. And I would have rewarded you richly, but look, the Lord has denied you a reward. And then Balaam answered Balak, didn't I previously tell the messengers you sent me? If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go against the Lord's command to do anything good or bad on my own will. I will say whatever the Lord says. Now I'm going back to my people, but first let me warn you what these people will do to your people in the future. And basically it's another oracle that Israel's going to win. All these people are going to lose. And then Balaam in verse 25 arose and went back to his homeland, and Balak also went his way. But the story is not done. You see, a lot of times we'll go to the part where we're just talking about the donkey, and that is a crazy piece. But sometimes that's just God's thumbprint doing something way out of the ordinary, so you know that it's God. But it doesn't stop. You see, Balaam is pretty cunning. You know, you can fool me and you can fool the church, but you will never fool God. You can never fool God. And you can almost believe your own self and tell yourself something so much and you begin to believe it, but God's got his finger right on what the truth is. Even if you con yourself. And people con themselves all the time. We believe our own lies. But chapter 25 is a downhill piece for Israel. And that's where I want to share with you just a little bit. And in chapter 31. Chapter 25, verse 1, it says, while Israel was staying in the Ahia Grove, it's a tough name, the people began to prostitute themselves with the women of Moab. So they come up beside them, and there's this opportunity, and they begin to prostitute themselves with the women of Moab. What do they do in verse 2? It says, the women invited them to the sacrifices for their gods, and the people ate and bowed and worshiped to their gods. So Israel aligned itself with Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. So these women of Moab were doing some good things. Doing some bad things. And God has Israel going in and they take care of some things, but they don't really finish the job. And now we're going to chapter 31. Chapter 31, we see Balaam again. Balaam is still a key character. Chapter 31, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and execute vengeance for the Israelites against the Midianites because they didn't finish the job. After that, you will be gathered to your people. Now that goes into something else, but what he's saying is your time is coming to an end, Moses. Your time is coming to an end. Would you like to know the day that you're going to die? Would you like to know that? I wouldn't. But you know, no man has spent as much time, I believe, in God's and the scriptures than a man named Moses. Moses knew where he was going. But I'm sure there was a part of him that felt like he just didn't finish the job. But you know what's amazing? God looks. I love this part because I'm so thankful for God's forgiveness. You bring up your junk all the time. If you've been truly forgiven, God never brings it up. Ever. Moses did get angry and hit that. He got angry and he thumped that rock. He thumped that rock three times. He did it out of anger. God says, "You're not going." That's tough. But then, just a little piece to help you here. We see Jesus at the transfiguration. Jesus is encouraged there. And one of those guys is Moses. God chose all the people, anyone that had passed on, he could use. He chose. One of them was Moses. Wow. Don't ever look in the scriptures and find somebody's low point and just pick on that low point. Don't do it. Just learn from it. Find the high moments. Look at the good stuff. You can spend a lot of time looking at the negative stuff. Look at the good stuff because that's what is encouraging. But here we find out that this is the moment where God says, after that, after you get done with this piece here, you will be gathered to your people. And that's another story. So Moses spoke to the people, equip your people. We're going to war. We're going to take care of this. It's going to be done now. And then in verse 7 it says, they waged war against the Midian. As the Lord had commanded Moses and killed every male. Now it sounds sometimes like God is very heartless. It's not. Let me tell you. Evil, so many times in Scripture, we find there's moments in Scripture where generations are so evil, God just wants to take them out. They waged war against the Midian, and the Lord had commanded Moses to kill every male. Along with the others slain by them, they killed the Midian kings, they killed all the kings, and then it says, and the five kings of Midian, but here we go. They also killed Balaam. What? So scripture that nobody, very few people will finish the story. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with a sword. And verse 13, it said, goes down to verse 13. So after they're done, Moses the priest, the priest Eleazar, and all the leaders of the community went to meet them outside the camp. They all came back and they're all kind of probably happy that they're coming back. But Moses became furious with the officers, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds who were returning from the military campaign. Moses could see the big picture. Have you let every female live? That sounds hard. He asked them. And they did let some live. Yet they are the ones, listen, he's saying, you let the ones live that are the ones who at Balaam's advice incited the Israelites to unfaithfulness against the Lord in Peor incident. And that Peor incident, so that the plague came against the Lord's community. So now kill every male among the dependents and kill every woman who had gone to bed with a man. So God had this thing. They were not supposed to be together with them. Balaam got with them and said, listen, go sleep with God's people. Get them to go do sacrifices and get them to come to your worship. Turn their heart away from God. You know, in the military, I was in Panama. Let me give you something. This thing, when I read this, reminded me. So I'm down in Panama in the late 89 and 90. I was down there. And so we had our tour. We just got there. And so we had to go to the military police station. And so there was some introductions that we had to do. So we went down there, and so there was the jail cells and everything. So this is a new place we had to see where we were going to work for the next 6 months. And so a guy came out and he says, I need to give you a warning. I want you to look at the picture of this woman, and they just kind of blew it up, a big picture. I want you to, if you see this woman, don't let her out of your sight, and she needs to be under arrest. And we're just there. We don't know who it is. Somebody said, well, who is she? Well, she's got all the aliases, names. Don't worry about her name. Look, let the face be an imprint in your brain. Don't forget the face. And somebody said, what does she do? This woman was infected with AIDS. Her goal was to go out and sleep with as many U.S. American soldiers as possible to cause an AIDS epidemic in Panama with the United States soldiers. Well, who gave that order? Noriega. This is the same thing. Balaam put it out and said, you go out and you sleep with as many Israelite men as you possibly can. Get them to worship the gods. And what do you think he was getting? Money. He was getting money. Let me just share with this in closing. This is an Old Testament story, but the New Testament also brings up some things. And there's a few other scriptures that you can bring up in Joshua, but here it is. I want to read a couple of New Testament scriptures because this is a story that really impacted God's people. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter's talking about false teachers. He says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. They have gone astray by abandoning the straight path and have followed the path of Balaam, the son of Peor, a Bezor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Jude writes about false corrupt teachers. In Jude verses 10 and 11, it says, But these people blaspheme anything they do not understand. And what they do understand by instinct, like irrational animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain and have plunged into Balaam's error for profit and have perished on Korah's rebellion. Well, some of you guys are scriptural people. You know who Cain is, you know who Balaam is, and you know who Korah's rebellion is. And Jesus himself had something to say about Balaam. What? Yes. In Revelations, to the letters of the seven churches, Jesus has this to say to the church of Pergamum. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to place... Who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites to eat meat sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Jesus puts it all out there. Where did Balak get it from? Jesus says, Balaam, who taught Balak, King Balak, how to put a stumbling block in front of God's people. Wow. It took all the way to the Revelations to really just see what happened. All the way back in Numbers, and Jesus puts it out that Balaam taught the king. Even though that conversation, later on, he taught the king how to do it. When they come into town, get the women out there. I was in Panama. When you come in, watch out for this one. And someone said, how many has she infected? And the officer said, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. And they never told us. And by the time I left, she was still out there. And the note came back as we began to do it. And guess what? There was one thing that did begin to happen. There began to become more pictures around her of other women that they were looking for as well. Listen, Satan will attack you any way he can. To take you and destroy your relationship with God, to keep you to where you lean on God, to get you to sway away from God, to sway away from your prayer life, sway away from worship, sway away from what keeps you strong, your faith in God, in Christ. There's no room for Balaam in your life. Now tonight I hope that if you knew a little bit about Balaam, I hope you know a lot more about Balaam tonight. And if you go back and read, you'll go, Jimmy, you missed this part and that part. Listen, we were trying to cover like 9 chapters or something. Go back and read it. 22 through, you could actually, I would read 21 through 31 and then hit up the other ones in Joshua. God loves his people, folks. God loves you. But he wants you to do life right. And he wants you to do life right with him. Don't get conned just because somebody says they're a preacher. Don't get conned because someone says they pastor a church. Pay attention to what they teach. Pay attention to what they preach. Look at their doctrine. Look at their theology. Look at their life. No preacher, need no jet. And you don't plant seeds. You don't give money to get money. You give out of a cheerful heart, and you leave it. You don't put strings attached. This is a good story for us not to go down. So I want to. I know it's a teaching, but I still like to do an altar call because you never know what God does with the heart of a person.